Still, there, it's on. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. It's good to have you with us this morning. We pray a special blessing on you. If you're visiting with us, we pray that you would see Jesus with us this morning as we gather together in the presence of the Holy God. Before we enter into worship this morning, a few announcements. To begin with, those who are attending the 2019 Bible League Conference on Tuesday, September 10th, if they would like to carpool, you're asked to meet at the church at 8:45 a.m. The Wednesday evening Women's Bible Study will have their first meeting on Wednesday, September 11th at 6:30 p.m. They will be meeting at the Wells Blue Bunny Ice Cream Parlor. Wait a minute. Why was I not told of this? On September 15th, Reverend Dwayne Tinklenberg, next Sunday, he will be preaching for us in worship. I'm serving a classical appointment to First CRC Sheldon in the morning and evening services there, so I won't be here. So we look forward to Reverend Tinklenberg being here next week. This month's special offering will be designated on September 22nd for Sioux City Gospel Mission. Also, you're invited to the 5th Annual Kingdom Boundaries Prison Aftercare Fall Banquet, Monday, September 16th at New Life Reformed Church in Sioux Center. Some really amazing stuff going on there. I believe, is this the one you're involved with, Pete? Yes, so if you have questions, talk to Pete. They do some really fantastic stuff up in Sioux Falls and elsewhere. So encourage you to think about attending that. The deacons, again, I mentioned it last week, but just as a reminder, the deacons would like everyone to hear the good news that we have received a donation that puts us over the top for raising funds on both the chairlift and the organ. So that's all paid for now. So praise be to God for that. Finally, again, I mentioned this last week, but I have somebody who I'm about 99% sure would be happy to teach the majority of young adult Sunday school. So middle school, junior high, high school. The problem is he lives in Sioux Center at Dort College, and he doesn't have a car. So I'm looking for ways of getting him from here to there. I've got a few possibilities, but if you have any ideas, let me know, okay? So that's all for our announcements this morning. This time I would ask us to enter into a time of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship before a holy God. Would you stand for our call to worship this morning? Our call to worship comes from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways according to your love. Remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. Sisters and brothers, we lift our hearts to God this morning, and we lift our hearts to a God who forgives, who chases after us to instruct us in his word Jesus Christ, so that we might know God fully and rejoice in his love and live in his holiness. And as we come into God's presence this morning, We come in joy that this is the God we come to sing and worship. And we come singing our song of worship, Be Thou My Vision. And the one who is our vision, the one who chases after us with all of the revelation of who he is in Christ, greets us with these words this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit, one holy triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Having received God's greeting this morning, we are aware that we are a people who often run from this God, a God who gives us knowledge of who he is, and yet we are not always excited about that idea. And so this morning we confess our sins together, saying our prayer of confession, Almighty Father, forgive us for our refusals to learn who you are in Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Forgive us for running from the knowledge that you offer. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We confess our sins to God. We've entered into his presence. We have sung to him. We've recognized, yes, that we are sinners still. But God knows us in Christ. He knows us in his word, the word of forgiveness that he offers us, and the word that we offer back to him, who is Christ himself. So hear now the good news again this morning. Christ says to you, I forgive you. I have borne your sins on my body on the cross so that you might be dead to evil, alive to good. All of my righteousness is yours, and all of your sin is mine. And so you are forgiven. You are forgiven. And with that assurance of our peace with God, we have joy. We are lighthearted. We know now that we can live a life of openness and love with one another. And so we overflow in that love, and we turn to each other now, and we greet each other with Christ's peace this morning. this time, I'd invite you to be seated for a moment. We're going to commission now our education leaders. On September 22nd, we are going to begin our season of Sunday school. But also, as you saw in the bulletin, we're already beginning our various Bible studies, one of which is happening at a certain ice cream parlor. And we want to take this moment to commission our leaders, those who are offering themselves in these various capacities, Sunday school, Bible study, whatever it might be. And so at this time, I would like anyone who's involved in any way with leading any one of those groups to stand at this time, and we're going to commission you together. So if you're involved with Sunday school, Bible study, leading any of that, would you please stand? Beloved in the Lord, we have come to commission this year's educational leaders in Christ's holy church. Christ alone is the source of all Christian ministry through the ages, calling men and women to serve. And by the Holy Spirit, all who believe and are baptized receive a ministry to witness to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and to love and serve those whom they live and work with. We are ambassadors for Christ, who reconciles and makes whole. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Following Christ's resurrection and ascension, God has given the church apostles, prophets, and teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, and leadership. And seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we affirm the calling of our leaders. To you who are involved in these various ministries, I say this. Our Lord, who came among us to serve, calls us to faith and a life of gratitude. You stand among us to render a particular service, a gift from God to equip us in the work of ministry. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Do you, standing here this morning, accept this ministry of education leaders in confidence that it comes from God? What do you say? Will you fulfill this ministry in accordance with the teaching and practice of this church? Will you be diligent in your study of Scripture, faithful in your use of the means of grace, and constant in prayer? Will you trust in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve, strive for excellence in your work, uphold the unity, purity, and peace of this church, and adorn the gospel with a godly life? Congregation, would you stand as well? Beloved people of God, will you receive these sisters and one brother who's probably in Sioux Center right now as servants of the Lord? Will you encourage them as they accept this responsibility for our common life? Will you provide such financial and personal support that they will serve with joy? What do you say?
We will.
We commission you this morning, leaders, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, as you call workers to various tasks in the world and in your church, so have you called these servants to these ministries. Grant them joy that they may stir up through their work each of us to a life of faithful service. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ our Lord, the head of the body, the church, in the power of the Holy Spirit, who equips us for all service. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with Breathe on Me, O Breath of God, an appropriate song for those who have just been commissioned, as well as all of us, in that we pray that the Spirit of God would come specially upon them on this day, that they might do their work in the joy of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. It is time now as the Spirit of the living God lifts our hearts up that we now bring our prayers before God as a congregation. One of the chief things we do when we gather together is to pray. We do it when we sing. We do it when we read scripture responsively. And we do it when we gather all our hearts together and lay before God all of our joy and all of our sorrow, all of our petitions, and all of our praises. So will you join with me this morning as we gather our hearts together as one and enter in before God through Christ and the Spirit. Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we praise you that you are the fountain of all knowledge. You are the fountain of all grace and truth. Son of God, we praise you that you are the means and the revelation of all knowledge, the revelation of all truth. And Holy Spirit, we praise you that you are the one who reveals to us the Son as knowledge and truth. We give you praise, God. We give you thanks. For you are the one who chases after us with knowledge so that we will not remain ignorant of you. Do not let us go, O Lord. Do not let us muddle about in our ignorance. Do not let us refuse you. But instead, guide our hearts towards you. Lord, we have commissioned this morning people who will lead us in truth, who will help us open the scriptures by your Spirit. Lord, we pray especially for them, that your Spirit would indeed be upon them, that you would give them wisdom and knowledge. And Lord, we pray that through their ministries we might receive more knowledge, a knowledge that encompasses our whole person, not just heart, not just head, not just hands, but all of who we are, so that we might worship you fully in grace and in truth, and we might love you not only with our heart and strength, but also with our minds. Give us this grace, we pray. And Lord, since you are our God, and since you are the one who chases us with knowledge, we pray that you would chase also those who are far away with knowledge. We think of our missionaries who seek to be your means of preaching the good news. We think of the Havlicheks this morning. We pray for them. We pray that you would help them gain the knowledge necessary to translate the Bible into the various dialects of the rural peoples of Mexico. We pray, Lord, also for whoever our other missionary will be that we will support as a congregation. You know who they are. We pray even now for them. We pray that you would bless them with the words to speak, to reveal who you are through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that people might see the face of Christ. Lord, we pray this morning for all of our leaders. We commend this nation to your merciful care, the care that guides through your providence in the way so that we are dwelling even now secure in your peace. And we are thankful for that peace, that we are not like other nations in the midst of war, but that we can be at rest. Grant to the President of the United States and to all in authority wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Lord, fill them with the love of truth and righteousness. Make them ever mindful of their calling to serve your people, all people, in your fear. Lord, we pray as well for our church leaders. We've already prayed for those who have been commissioned this morning. We think also more broadly, Lord, of our classes that met yesterday. We pray, Lord, that the good news of the gospel would continue to be proclaimed in this area through our classes of churches, classes Heartland. Bless all of the decisions made there, Lord. Give us grace, peace, and unity, and love for one another. Lord, be with us. Be with each of the pastors in the classes this morning who are offering your word to your people. May they offer your people knowledge of who you are so that we can all see Christ once again. Lord, we pray now for those who are sick among us. We pray for Sandra, Lord. We pray that you would make it possible for her to get a good treatment and to hear the word remission, to hear the word healing. Be with her in that. We pray for Marvin Williams, Lord, that he would recover from the motorcycle accident. Lord, we pray for Nicholas. We are glad that he is doing well, and we pray for continued healing for him. We pray, Lord, for Greg Smith. We are thankful that his test results continue to be good, and we pray that you would give him to hear the word remission as well. We pray for Nomi Voss, that you would be with her in her cancer. Lord, bring her through it safely also. We pray, Lord, for Glenda Hoffland with her lung problems. Lord, sustain her day by day. She would long to be here, Lord. And we think of others from our church who cannot be here as well. Lord, we think of Frank Vanden Bosch, and we think of Patty Witsema. Think of Margaret Hopp. Think of Denise Masbergen. We think of Jan Sneller. We think of Audrey Van Grau, Lord. Be with each of them. Give them grace in their own situations and reveal yourself to them in Christ again and again. Lord, this morning we also pray, as we always do, for those whose sorrows and maybe even their joys are hidden from us this morning. We all have many secrets, Lord. We all have sins that tug us down. We all have anxieties that press in on us. We all have disappointments that we are afraid to share with others. Be near to your people. Be near to your people. For you, O Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are the great shepherd of the sheep. You are the one who guides us beside still waters, who makes us to lie down in green pastures, and who restores our souls. We cling to this promise, Lord, and we wrestle with you for it. Give us your peace, we pray. Give us your peace, even as we lift up to you your own word, the knowledge that we have received by your Son, as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. To come forward and to take our morning offering.
I turn.
Well, brothers and sisters, this morning we continue now our sermon series from the book of Hosea. We looked last week at the first few verses of Hosea chapter 4, and this week we will look at the rest of the passage, Hosea 4, verses 4 through 19. I'm reading from the NIV translation. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more the priests increased, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be, like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution but not increase, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, to old wine and new, which takes away the understanding of my people. They consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughter-in-laws to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Though you commit adultery, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Do not go to Gilgal, and do not go up to Beth-Aven, and do not swear, as surely as the Lord lives. The Israelites are stubborn, bulky, like a bulky or stubborn heifer. How then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in a meadow? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will bring them shame. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me this morning that God's word from Hosea would enter into our minds and hearts by the preaching of the word? O Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need you this morning. We need the rush of your breath upon us, oh God. We need you to plant new creation in this moment, to take the chaos of our hearts, to hover above them, and to call light out of darkness. Lord, open our ears, open my mouth, that we might see Jesus, that we might know you as you are, not as we want you to be. And so, Lord, may the word of God preached become the very word of God. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, our strength and redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. Frank Harvey had bulky cows, stubborn cows, 20 head of wide-eyed, kink-tailed bolting bovines. Frank Harvey had bulky cows. Frank was a bit of a hillbilly who lived just up the road from us. He had his missing teeth, his turkey feathers stuck in his black sweat-rimmed hat, his very talkative Japanese war bride. And they lived just up the creek from us, tucked in this little wiggle of a Montana draw without electricity or without running water. Like hillbilly, like cows. His cows were as eccentric as Frank was. They were bulky, stubborn, had their own mind about things. And on this particular day, they needed to be vaccinated. They needed shots to make sure that they could live a healthy life and not get sick and die. But Frank Harvey had bulky, stubborn cows. Frank did not have any horses. He had a little old red three-wheeler that he used, and he could only go so many places with that. He had once tipped it over on his back and broken his back, healed up from that, but he had no horses, so he called my dad. Actually, he came down the creek and asked my dad, "Can you come up and help me wrangle my cattle into my corral so I can give them shots that are good for them?" So we pulled up early on this particular morning, my dad's big white gooseneck trailer. We hopped our horses out, and my dad whispered to me, "All right, be ready. This is going to get wild and fast, quick." So we cinched up our horses tight, the strap firm against their bellies. We swung up into the saddle, and we trotted off on that crisp morning. The plan was simple, if ingenious. Frank's land sat on a hillside, on part of the divide in the area where all the water would run down one side to the creek, where his house was and where his corrals were. So we would go to the far ends of the pasture and shoo and move the cattle downhill. Now, this is genius because animals don't like to run uphill. They will take the first opportunity to run downhill. It's in their nature. So we would start there and we would work them down towards the corral. So no matter how wild and stubborn they would be, we would take advantage of their natural inclinations. Just one problem. Frank Harvey had bulky cows. They saw us coming from a distance. Their heads sprang up like deer. One look, their tails flew high, and they bolted. We spurred our horses and gave charge. They scattered in every direction except downhill. We seesawed back and forth across the pasture with them. They were not going to go downhill. They knew where the corral was. Been there, done that. We're not going there again. One old, ugly, red and white spotted with broken horns raced down in front of me and then dove into the thorn brush, froze as I went flying by on my horse. Another black Angus cow went zipping towards a pine tree which had limbs just high enough to wipe off a rider on horseback. She ducks under it. My horse plows after her. I'm holding on for dear life. And then she pivots and goes right around the tree, back out the other way, up the hill. Back and forth. For 2 hours, we did this. Our horses' sides heaving, the sweat dripping from their manes. "No, we're not going into that crowd." "Yes, you are." "No." They were like crazed bovines. Never seen those type of animals before. They'd been up in the hills a little too long. Like Frank, like cattle, hillbilly cattle. They had no interest in going downhill like normal cattle did. And they knew every inch, every switchback, every clump of thorn brush in that pasture. And after 2 hours of plunging up and down draws, of using every word in my vocabulary, we gave up. Because Frank Harvey had bulky cows, stubborn animals. Next year, he built a fancy little lot that he could lure them into and then get them in, and then we could push them in. So they were stuck once they got in. But that day, we just gave up and went home. There were no shots for them that day because they were bulky cows. Bulky cows like Israel. Israel is a bulky heifer, says Hosea, a stubborn cow. How is it that God will be able to feed her on the meadows like a lamb? Israel is stubborn. Israel is determined to have its own way. Israel has lived for too many years up in the hill country. They know every switchback. They know every pine tree. They know every clump of thorn brush, and they have claimed them as their own. We have no interest in going where you want us to go, God. We have no interest in your law. We have no interest in knowledge of you. God appears on the scene to give them a shot of knowledge, something good for them, something to help them live a good and full and long life. They turn tail and run, scatter in every direction, except downhill. We don't need any more catechizing. We don't need to know any more about, you know, the law of God or any of that. We don't need that. We're happy just living out here in the wild, doing what we want to do. And unfortunately, these bulky heifers, these stubborn bovine Israelites, had some co-conspirators, the priests. The priests were ordained by God to help God get the people into the corral and give them a shot of knowledge every so often to keep them healthy. Every 7 years, the priests, according to God's law, were to gather all the people and to read the entire book of the law to them and to explain it to them. It was the priest's job to teach the Torah, to teach the law of God, which included the stories of who God was and all of God's instructions for his people. This is who God is. Remember the story. We were coming out of Egypt, and the Egyptians were behind us, pressing us against the rest of the sea. And God caused the sea to open up, and we went through, and he saved us, and he declared us his people. And then he brought us to Mount Sinai, and he said, "This is how you live. This is how you love one another. This is how you love me. You shall have no other gods beside me," and so forth and so on. This was the priest's calling. Help God get the people in once in a while and to give them a good shot of knowledge for their own good. But the priests are more than happy instead to run about with the stubborn cows. They host the all-night raves at Gilgal and Bethel. They renovate the Canaanite chapels on every high hill and under every shady tree, burning incense. They fill their stomachs with sacrifices. They stain their beards with wine. They copulate with every shrine priestess, the so-called holy women, the Kedeshot. They do not know the law of God. They have no knowledge of who this God of Israel is, and they could care less. They have no interest in retelling the stories or retelling what God asks of his people. And the people love it. We don't have to hear any more about that God or his law. It doesn't matter because we're worshiping him right now. We're swearing, "As the Lord lives," as we come into Bethel. The priests are saying, "As the Lord lives," when we come into Gilgal. It doesn't matter. It's all good. We don't need to hear any more about God. We know enough already. And yet, because the priests did not know who this God was, the people did not know who this God was. "My people," laments God, "are destroyed for lack of knowledge." When they should be coming in every so often and relearning who I am, being reminded again and again of the one who brought them out of Egypt, of the one who has instructed them how to live and love, they're busy running away from it. I don't need to know anything about that. I'm happy hanging out in the thorn brush. It's okay. I don't need that. Been there, done that. Don't need another shot. Even if it is good for me, I don't need it. And the priests help them out. And the result was that worship began to destroy Israel. Because if you don't know the stories of God, if you don't know what God requires from his people, you don't know which God it is you're worshiping. And the Israelites became confused. Is this the God of Israel, or is it Baal, the God of the Canaanites, or Molech, or Asherah, or Astarte? I mean, who are these gods? Maybe Yahweh likes it when our priests throw down the sacred sticks and crow hop around them and utter out the mysterious interpretations the runes speak. Maybe that's what God wants. But what of the law? What of the stories out of Egypt? What of the stories of the settling of the promised land? All gone, all forgotten, all ignored. And so Israel does not know which God it is they worship. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Balky, stubborn cows. Are we balky, stubborn cows? Do we know the stories of God? Or do we refuse to learn the stories of God? Do we know what God has revealed for us to live a life of love? Many years ago, the Christian Reformed Church was a bit legalistic when it came to its inculcation of information. There was a tendency probably 60 years ago or so to think only about the mind at times. Now, that's not completely true, but there was a tendency, an overload of information, sermons that could stretch an hour, hour and a half, maybe even sometimes 2 hours. I know what that was like. I was in the little fundamentalist Baptist church. We had two-hour sermons sometimes. So, and it was data, 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 some good stuff. But hours were devoured through care for every jot and tittle of the law. Not always a bad thing. But sometimes love could get crushed out. Sometimes that punctiliousness about information could chase away a heartfelt response. And so God's people rebelled and said, all right, we're not, this is getting a little crazy. Pushed back, and the pendulum began to swing. And we thank God for that. There were many good things about the good old days, but there were also some problems with the good old days. But have we perhaps swung a little too far? Have we thrown out knowledge with the nitpickiness, perhaps, of our forefathers? Do we know the stories of God? Do we read our Bibles like they read their Bibles? My father-in-law tells stories about his father going to men's society meetings, and he had Calvin's commentaries, and he would spend hours poring over them before he went to the society meeting. I'm not saying you need to go buy Calvin's commentaries and do that, but I wonder if we've maybe slipped to the other extreme. Do we know this God that we worship? Or at the first hint of a shot of knowledge, do we bolt into the thorn brush and freeze? He's going to go by. He's not going to see us. We're not alone in struggling with this. This is a common problem right now among confessional churches. I was talking about a month and a half ago with a Reformed Episcopalian minister, and he was lamenting to me. He's a pastor in, I believe it's Mississippi, and he said, you know, I have people in my church who have grown up in my church. They've been through catechism, Sunday school, everything, all the way up. And I have Sunday school set up for them last year, and I start telling them about Abraham, and they go, who's Abraham? Now, some of you are going, who's Abraham? We'll fix that, okay? We'll fix that. But they didn't know the basic stories of who God is, the stories of God's work with his people, fervent Christians, but devoid of knowledge. Let's push it back home a little bit. Do those who are ordained to tell the stories of God with his people, those in our churches who are supposed to read the law and read the prophets and read the stories of what God has done and explain it to the people, our pastors, do they know the stories of God and his people? I have to admit, I worry a little bit sometimes when I hear from seminaries when they say things like, you know, we don't really need to teach Greek and Hebrew anymore. That's not necessary. We need classes in cultural engagement. We need classes in leadership. Yeah, that's fine. But what of the scriptures? What of the story? The story of God with his people. Because if those who have been charged to teach the story don't know the story in all of its beauty and splendor, even in the original languages out of which we see the goodness and fruitfulness of God, if they don't know that, you won't know it. If the priests are throwing down sticks in Israel's day, and if we're doing who knows what, putting slides in churches, like certain churches over in England, right now they're putting in these huge slides to get people's attention, preaching sermons from the top of the slides, all sorts of weird stuff. But we don't know, and we're crow-hopping around the sticks. Oh, it speaks. The runes speak. The slide speaks. But we don't know the actual stories of God. How will you know which God it is you're worshiping? Are we balky cows? Are our ministers sometimes balky cows? Sometimes I hear things like, oh, well, you know, we don't even, you know, some of these, we don't even need to bother with seminary education. We have people with special gifts who could just get up and do whatever they, you know, they can learn a bit here. We don't have to send them off. They don't need all that archaic stuff they'll learn in seminary where, you know, their faith will go to die, cemetery. And it's true, there are people with extraordinary gifts, and God does use them, but the exception maybe shouldn't prove the rule. It does prove the rule. Do we know God? Do we know his word? Do our ministers know God and his word? Or at this first sign of a bit of knowledge, do we bolt to the ends of the pasture? No. I don't need to know that. I had catechism when I was a kid. I don't need to learn anything else. Just need to know Jesus. Right. But which Jesus? The Mormon Jesus? The Muslim Jesus? The Jehovah's Witness Jesus? Which Jesus do you worship? How do you know? I mean, knowledge is not just about your head, but it's not less than your head. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So is that it? All right. Sometimes we're like bulky cows, just like Israel. We don't want any knowledge. We just kind of want to do our own thing. Does God just sort of leave us there? I give up. My horse's sides are heaving, sweating bullets. I give up. They're hiding in the thorn brush again. No. God says yes to our no. God refuses to leave us in our ignorance. God will chase after us until we know him in all of who we are. The almighty cowboy cinches up his horse tight, swings up in the saddle, and rides out. And he has eternal patience. Doesn't care how many hours this takes. His horse is never going to wear out. We see him, our heads bolt up, we take off running, and he charges after us. No, I'm not going in there. I don't need a shot of knowledge. I don't need it. I've been there. Yes, you do. I'm going to get you in there. We're seesawing back and forth across the pasture. We're diving into the thorn brush. We're trying to rub him off on pine trees. We're doing everything. And yet he keeps coming. He sends Hosea to the northern kingdom. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's God's word echoing to his people. It's time to get down into the kraal and get a shot. Come on. Israel's hiding in the thorn brush. God calls his cow dogs. sick them. Everybody comes flushed out. And if necessary, he's roping and dragging us down the hill, bump, 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 all the way in. You need a shot. You need to know who I am. Through every scrap of scripture, through every fragment of a sermon, through water seen sprinkled at baptism, at the taste of the bread and wine, whatever way it will be, God will reveal his word to us. He will reveal Christ to us in the Spirit, and he will say, know me as I am. Know me as I am. Don't confuse me with the other gods around here. Know me as I am. I'm here. He chases after us with knowledge. He refuses to let us go. He's gone so far as to send his knowledge, his own knowledge, his word, Christ himself, into our midst in flesh. He will win this. He's not going to give up. He's going to chase us down. All of the hooting and hollering, all of the shouting, it's designed to get us in the corral. All of Hosea's blustering sermons, it's designed to get Israel in the corral. You need to know who I am so you know which God to worship. He's chasing after us. He will not let us go. The question is, are we going to go hard or easy? Is he going to have to rope us and drag us down the hill, bump, 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 into the corral? Here's your shot, so you can live a healthier and happier life and not die of some horrible cow disease. Or are we going to say, you know what? Maybe it's not such a bad idea. I'll actually go downhill. I actually like running downhill. This is nice. I'm going to go down into the corral, get my shot, and I'll live a happy, healthy life. I'll see something new about God. I'll learn something of who he is in Jesus Christ. And I'll be able to tell him apart from all the other gods around me. So maybe today we pick up our Bible again. Maybe we jump into the Bible studies that we commissioned people to help out with. Maybe we come to the Sunday schools of those who are leading them today. I should say starting on the 22nd. Maybe we engage in a new way with the transforming of our mind so that we might know Christ fuller. For in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, says St. Paul. God's going to chase us down. He's going to get us there. But is he going to have to drag us down? Or are we going to just say, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be a bulky cow. Maybe I should just be an ordinary cow who goes on down and gets a shot when I need it to learn more about God. My people perish for lack of knowledge, says God. And yet he will chase us. He will send Hosea's. He will do whatever he can to get us to know who he is. Will you listen? Are you going to know him? Or are you going to be balky? Am I listening? Am I going to help you be balky? Or am I going to help give you a shot? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In response to God's word this morning, I invite you to stand, and we're going to sing together, Knowing You, Jesus, as we seek to come down the hill, as we seek to know who God is truly, not as we just think we want to know who he is in our own way up in the pasture out in the middle of nowhere, but instead to receive his knowledge. Will you stand and sing? Sisters and brothers, as you now go out in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God, go out eager to know who God is. Say, I don't know a lot. I've been out in the woods a little too long. That's okay. What's the problem is to say, no, I'm not going to learn anything more. God's Spirit's after you. He's going to teach you. So embrace it. Learn more of who God is for you in Jesus Christ. Pick up your Bibles and read and be blessed by it. Receive now the blessing of our God. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen.